commonality. But here's what's particularly troubling. If you look at the court's findings, he states numerous times that one of the principal reasons why there's no commonality is because some policyholders may prefer the interpretation that Midland has. That and this is at Joint Appendix 13, and it's at 18 again. And he basically says that many policyholders prefer paying higher rates. That, of course, would be absurd. So what the court says is many policyholders would prefer to pay higher rates in earlier policy years in exchange for lower rates in later in life. One reason why they may prefer the shape of the cost of insurance curve is that there are certain tax advantages. And he cites to paragraph 50 of Mr. Bill's affidavit. And I'd ask the court to review that because Mr. Bill's paragraph 50 does not say that policyholders would prefer paying higher rates. It doesn't say anything close to that. What it says is, and I quote, the larger premiums in earlier years help to lower premiums in later years, and this may be advantageous to some policyholders. The potential advantage derives in part from the income tax rules applicable to life insurance. That's the only paragraph the court cites to support its conclusion that many policyholders would prefer higher rates. What Mr. Bill was saying there is not inconsistent at all with our theory of the case. We're saying that they overcharged the cost of insurance rate, which reduced the net premium that would ultimately accumulate value. This is a flexible premium policy. You can put in as much premium up front as you want, and you don't have to do that, and at the same time accept being overcharged for cost of insurance rate.
Well, do you disagree with the idea that some policyholders may prefer lower premiums later when they may have less income?
No, but our point is you can pay higher premiums without being overcharged with the cost of insurance rate. That's what the court completely misses here.
The problem is that your reading of the contract is materially adverse to some of the class members. I think that's the main point here.
But our point is it's not, because there is nothing that prevents a policyholder.
It alters the way that the premiums are calculated, which is beneficial to some members of the class but adverse to others.
That's assuming you accept the policy rates that were not contained in the cost of insurance solver that the trial court ultimately adopts on. But even with those, even if you accept those rates, and this is critical, for the first 15 years, the policyholders are in fact overcharged for the cost of insurance.
So, and then
the last 15 years, they're not damaged by our interpretation. Midland's simply in compliance with the contract. Their cost of insurance rates do not exceed the price of mortality for the last 15 years. So there is no conflict that the court attempts to find here. At best, it's speculative. There's nothing in the record in which supports that many policyholders would prefer Midland's interpretation. The only paragraph, the only record that the court cites and when he makes this finding is paragraph 50. And paragraph 50 says that larger premiums may be preferred by policyholders. And our point is larger premiums can be paid by policyholders without having to incur a inflated cost of insurance rate. Our interpretation, in fact, is completely consistent with that position, because by reducing the cost of insurance rate, you're increasing the accumulated value that is building earlier in the years, in the early years, that will help pay for the premiums later in life. That's our whole point, is the damage here. By the overcharge in the first 15 years, you substantially reduce the cash value that would build up, that would be paying the premiums in future years. So the conflict that the court has found is not based on the record. In fact, Mr. Bill's paragraph 50 does not support his conclusion. It's a speculative conflict, and therefore class certification
I do want it
should be